What's good, boys? It is officially the first day of the NFL season. I know I'm excited. George, I know you're excited. Let's
Indeed.
get to it. So today we got for you guys, we have our predictions for the entire season. Later today we'll be coming out with our predictions for week one. There'll be more explanation on that. Make sure you guys stay tuned for that. But today, we're going to be going over every team's record prediction along with our Super Bowl winners, MVP. So we're ready. Playoff picture, everything. So this is a complete NFL season prediction. George, you want to start us off going over the AFC North?
Right now, I think you should get the honors, really. I believe in you, Andrew.
Okay.
Come
All
on.
right. So, how do I have the NFC North shaken out? Is I have the Ravens at number one, going 14-2. I think this is pretty realistic as they do have a fairly easy schedule, the easiest in the league. They got a lot better in the offseason and without losing really any people at all other than Hall of Fame guard Marshall Yonda. But they brought in guys like Calais Campbell and two rookie linebackers are going to help stop their biggest weakness on their defense last year, which is stopping the run. At the second spot in the NFC North or AFC North, excuse me, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers at 9-7. Obviously, they went 8-8 last year, and that was with a third string quarterback. Now they have Hall of Fame quarterback Ben Roethlisberger coming back. A lot of people, I feel like, are overhyping the Steelers, having them go 11-5 and 12-4. These ridiculous predictions. Ben Roethlisberger isn't going to be the same. He's 37, 38. His elbow surgery. No quarterback's ever come back from the elbow surgery that he had. I think he'll be successful next year, but definitely a decline from 2 years ago when he was the league leading. When he was leading the league in passing yards. At the third spot in the AFC North, I have the Cleveland Browns. Going 8-8, I think they definitely come together more and are better than last year as a team and on paper, but I just don't see them being successful yet. I don't have trust in Baker Mayfield yet, but this is a make or break year for Baker. I feel like if he can't deliver now, it's time to look into a different quarterback because now he has a proven coach that's good who has turned around Kirk Cousins' career in Minnesota. And then he now has an offensive line with two really good tackles now with Conklin, and then they drafted Wills. So we'll see how that goes with Baker. And then coming in last, I have the rebuilding Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow will struggle this year. Tough, tough
Oh.
schedule. Has to play three of the better defenses in the league twice. So I have them going 5-11.
All right. My number one, I have the Ravens going 13-3 because they are a good team. It's just I feel that they have a pretty easy schedule. It's not the hardest. They have a few teams in them that may lead them some trouble, like the Texans and Chiefs. But other than that, I feel them doing pretty well. Not far behind, I have the Steelers going 10-6. The Steelers, they have Big Ben back. Last year they went 8-8 without a quarterback really, and just
Yeah.
running the ball and relying on their really good defense. Their defense has gotten better and so has their offense. So I feel that they really will improve. I have the Browns going 8-8. I feel they really aren't going to be any different than the years before. It's not like they have outstanding coaching where it can lead them over the hump and get them to the playoffs. Their coaching is eh, and they really don't have any players who are good enough to lead the team there. Like, I know Andrew hates Baker, and he's not really a playoff
I don't hate him. I
quarterback,
think
so.
he's just a disappointment.
Well, he is a disappointment, and I don't think he'll be able to get the Browns to playoffs. Then, yes, dead last, I have the rebuilding Bengals. All
And what do you have them going for a record?
right. I have them going 3-13.
Was about to say, okay.
Oh, 10.
I'll do the South, and then you can do the East.
Sure.
So for the AFC South, this may come to a surprise for some people, but I have the Houston Texans winning the division at 9-7. A lot of people are counting this team out. They got rid of DeAndre Hopkins, but I feel like Will Fuller was could arguably be the most important receiver to that offense the past couple of years, because when Will Fuller was able to take the top off that defense, you saw how absolutely deadly DeAndre Hopkins was, and they can't double-team DeAndre Hopkins with Will Fuller on the field. That being said, Will Fuller wasn't on the field very often because he has a lot of injury problems. But now you have two Will Fullers on the team in Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller himself. And then you bring in guys like Randall Cobb, who are obviously aging, but still has stuff left in the tank. I don't think Dallas used him to his best ability. And then you have guys like Kenny Stills still on the roster. So I think the receiving core definitely took a hit, but for the quarterback like Deshaun Watson, I don't think you can count them out yet. They still have a pretty good defense, I would say top half of the league. So I think this team can be pretty successful. The only thing is they made it off to a slow start, and I don't know if they can recover from that. I think that would be the only thing hurting their playoff chances. But if they can get off to a fast start, then I think they'll be pretty successful.
Okay. AFC. Are you going to?
You want to go with your division leader?
For the South, yeah.
Yeah.
Or what are we doing? Yeah. So sorry, my division leader is the Colts, which some of you may think is a little bold, but I really think with all the offseason they had, they can be really good. They improved their running back position with Jonathan Taylor, who's a great running back. They improved their D-line with DeForest Buckner, who I would say was a really good trade for them because they do need some veterans on their team that are really good, and he is a very good veteran. They improved a lot with just player development last year. You could tell Quentin Nelson had a good year. Darius Leonard may have had an off year, but he's still going to be – he's going to play at an elite level. Next up, I have the Titans going 9-7. The Titans are a good team. I just feel with the losses they had, Logan Ryan, they lost Jarrell Casey. I forget was it Coughlin they lost? Yeah?
Yeah, their right tackle.
They lost Coughlin, who's a big help. They won't be able to be as good as they were last year and even have a better record than they did last year. I mean, a worse
Yeah. Yeah, I also had the Titans coming in second in their division, also at 9-7. I think Tannehill had a fluke good year, you know what I'm saying? Like
luck.
I think he has to prove it again. But that's why I have him going 9-7.
Who do you have next?
And third, I have the Colts at 7-9. Ooh. I think Phillip Rivers is declining. And we'll see how the defense is. I think if the defense can carry them to this record, but I don't think the offense is that good. And then obviously in last place, the Jaguars at 2-14. Kind of a rebuild mode for them and trying to get Trevor Lawrence.
I have the Texans going 8-8. That may surprise you, but I feel they're really not where they were and could be. Like, their defense declined. Their offense obviously declined in making a dumb trade, but, you know. And I have the Jags at 4-12.
Okay. So you got the AFCs.
All right. I just want to say, preface, I'm in a tough spot. Because if I say, oh, I have the Patriots winning the Super Bowl, oh, you're biased. But if I don't, oh, you don't believe in your team. It's not that.
That's just not true. That's reality.
No, okay, stop. Just, this is what I think will happen for records. Playoffs, it can go 50-50. Just putting that. The Patriots, I have them tied with the Bills, going 10-6. But they do win the division because they beat the Bills. That's what I think. I have the Pats and Bills both going 10-6 because they are both very good teams. And I feel that they both could go 10-6. It's a reality. They both have hard schedules, but I think can pull through. The Jets, I have them going 5-11. They're just not there yet. They have a young core. They did trade away Jamal Adams and got some picks, which we'll be looking forward for them for the next couple of years. And then we have the Miami Dolphins, and they need a year for Tua to get in his place. I'm pretty sure Fitzpatrick is still the starter right now, correct?
For week one, at least, yeah.
Yep. So I think they're going to need a year to kind of put him in the door and pick out Fitzpatrick.
Okay, so looking at my predictions is a little weird. I have the order that I want, but the records are a little weird. But I have the Bills in a unique scenario at the end of the season where they kind of cruise through the season early, kind of go 500 at the end, and then secured a playoff spot, but they
eight.
I have them going 8-8. I don't have them going. I have them leading the division, but I just don't think by the end of the year they'll need to. You know, they're gonna be in a mode where they're gonna start resting their players around week 15, week 16.
Going 8-8. Oh my god.
Yeah. I'm not a big believer in the Bills. Josh Allen's accuracy is definitely a red flag. Obviously, they brought in Stephon Diggs, but I just don't. I don't think the offense is high powered enough to be able to beat some of these. Like, just looking at their schedule, you know, I have them losing the Patriots week 16. I have them losing the Dolphins week 17 as they just need to rest their players. So 8-6 going into week 16, those could obviously be split the other way, you know, they could end the season 10-6. But I just don't see them don't see them having a high record. And another reason is if I put the Patriots at 6-10, George would have came to my house and, killed me. So I have them going 7-9. I have the Patriots going 7-9 because obviously they lost Tom Brady, the biggest thing. And then with all the opt outs that they have, I don't think they're a playoff team. The only reason why they have 7 wins is because Cam Newton is going to be comeback player of the year, but I just don't see them being very successful. I have the Miami Dolphins going 5-11 and the New York Jets going 4-12.
All right. You want me to get this one? Or?
Yeah, you can take it.
All right. So, obviously, we have the Raiders, top of the division. Yeah, no. Chiefs, I have them going 13-3. They are a really good team. They did improve from the offseason and draft. Signed a lot of their players to big contracts. And they did upgrade by getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire after Damian Williams opted out. That was really good. And they also upgraded the linebacking corps by getting Willie Gay Jr., who I like. I feel he can do good. Next up, we have the Broncos. The Broncos really improved in the draft. They got Hamler. They got Judy. They really improved the offensive wide receiving corps that really needs some help. But I have them barely not making the playoffs, going 9-7 at the 8th seed. Next up, we have the Chargers. Chargers lost Derwin James for the second year straight, which has got to be a killer for Chargers fans, and especially Derwin James. I have them going 6-10. Lastly, but probably least, we got the Oakland Raiders going 5-11. They still got a lot of players to develop. They got to figure out who the heck the quarterback is there. It's a messed up thing over there.
Jesus, like you just copied off me. I have the Chiefs also going 13-3, for obvious reasons. I have the Denver Broncos going 8-8. I originally had them going like 10-6, 11-5. But with the loss of Von Miller and Juwan James opting out, I think they become a lot like the Cleveland Browns of last year. Unproven quarterback coming into his second year. A lot of problems on the outside of the offensive line at both tackle positions. And a weakened pass rush because of injuries. So I don't see them being that successful this year. Well, still successful, better than last year, but not as successful as I would have had them. But I have them going 8-8, and then same exact thing with George. I have the Chargers going 6-10. Tyrod Taylor's been named the starter for week one, and I think they'll stay that way for half the year, and then Justin Herbert will get his chance towards the back half of the year. And then I have the Raiders going 5-11. I just think usually teams that are moving cities and stuff don't usually do well, and I think Derek Carr.
I said Oakland Raiders. My bad, boys.
You're good. This will be his last year in Las Vegas. His first year and last year in Las Vegas. So now we got the NFC North.
This is
this
be
one.
Fun.
I have a tight race. I have a very tight race. So this is very different than I thought it would end up. But with the past news in the last couple of days, it really altered my predictions. So in first place in the NFC North, I have the Green Bay Packers going 9-7. Last year they went 13-3, but they had 7 wins. They were 7-0 in one possession games, and that does not happen back to back seasons. That is not consistent. Props to them for winning those games, but it will not happen 2 years in a row. They didn't get any better really in the off season, so I have them going 9-7. Second in the NFC North, I have the Detroit Lions also going 9-7, just barely missing out on the playoffs. I think this team is very much improved, and I think their record did not reflect how much talent was actually on the team last year. They had a ton of injuries, and the biggest one being Matthew Stafford, who went down week 4, week 5, when they were 3-1. And then they, by Thanksgiving time, they went to their third-string quarterback. In third place in the NFC North, I have the Chicago Bears going 8-8. And I know what you're thinking, where are the Minnesota Vikings? I have the Minnesota Vikings going 7-9, only because the Neil Hunter is placed on IR. And he's going to miss at least the first three games. I think if he's playing those first three games, they win all of those first three games strictly because of his pass rush. So instead of going 7-9, 6 and win the division, that's how I tell you I think this race will be. And I think solely because of his injury, and that's at least 3 weeks. You never know going into the future. It could be up to it really could be up to the entire season, but realistically, I think 3 to 8 weeks is probably how much time he's going to miss. So 7-9, that can obviously change depending on how much time it takes for him to recover and coming back on the field. But that's where I have them right now.
All right. Packers were idiots and drafted Jordan Love. Therefore, they are not going to be good this year. They could have gotten an offensive weapon. They could have helped out, got T. Higgins, got any receiver to help. But, oh no, they need a quarterback of the future. And Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, by getting another quarterback replacement while the quarterback is still pretty good in the early rounds. I have them going 8-8. Now, I'm kind of like Andrew. This is a really tight race. I have them winning their division, obviously, just because the sole reason they still have Aaron Rodgers. If they didn't, it would be a much different story. In very tight second place in the division, going 8-8 as well, we have the Detroit Lions. They were injury prone all last year. They did get Jeff Okuda, who is going to be very good for them this year. They got Adrian Peterson. They got so many weapons. DeAndre Swift. And Deshaun Hand is going to come back. It's going to be a very good year for them. Third place, 7-9. Vikings, as Andrew said, because of Daniel Hunter, they are not going to have a first good first few games. But along with that, they did lose some cornerbacks, and it will take a little bit for Cameron Dantzler to get to the NFL level. And lastly, we have the Bears going 5-11. They need a I think Trubisky's starting, do they not?
Trubisky is starting week one.
Yeah, get him out of there, please. All right. Do you want me to get south?
Just go ahead.
All right, south. We got the Buccaneers, Saints. Oh, no. Oh my God. All right. Buccaneers and Saints. I have them tied with the same wins and losses. They both are going to go 12-4. Both are very good teams, very high powered. With all the recent stuff going with Bucks, I would be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs. Their defense is so good. They re-signed everyone from last year, and they had a great defense last year. Offense has improved so much with Gronk, Shady, Tom Brady. They also got Leonard Fournette. I don't see any that's going to be a high-powered offense. I would say it would be really close, but I think it would be not as good, but it has the potential to be almost as good as the 2007 Patriots.
Mm.
Now, right behind them, going 12-4 as well, yeah, as I said, the Saints. Saints, they always get high-powered teams. This year, it's just looking very good. They got Malcolm Jenkins back on their team. They had a pretty good draft, improving that interior line with Cesar Ruiz. And they did get Zach Bond, which looks like it's going to be good. And I feel they're going to go 12-4 as well. After that, we do have the Falcons going 8-8. They're going to have Matt Ryan back, which is – wait, Matt Ryan was injured last year, correct? No.
No, he was not.
No. Well, I felt like he didn't really play well last year.
A little bit of an off here.
I feel like he's going to come back better than ever. Their team did get a little better, I would say. Not too much, but I feel Julio Jones is going to come back. He's going to have a great year and prove, yeah, I'm number one. I want my crown back. Thank you. And last but not least, Panthers, 6-11. I really like how they drafted, how they went all defense. They have a really good team now. Well, not a really good team, but really good core young players. Your Tergros Matos. They got Derek Brown. They also got Jeremy Chin, who I'm a big fan of. I have them only going 6-10.
So for the NFC South, I have the New Orleans Saints in first place at 12-4. I think this is Drew Brees' last year, and the regular season beast that they are, he's going to go out with a bang. I have the Buccaneers going 11-5 in classic Tom Brady fashion. Start kind of slow, you know, off week one with a loss. And then kind of pick up pace by week four and get in the midseason group and then kind of fumble the bag late at the end of the year. So I have them getting a few upsets. Or I have them getting upset a few times, and I have them going 11-5. I have the Falcons going 8-8. This can obviously change if Todd Gurley comes out and is in his form a couple years ago. But this is 8-8, considering Todd Gurley has 700 yards and 5 touchdowns. You know, obviously, if he becomes a 1,000-yard rusher and double-digit touchdowns, Falcons could be a playoff team. And I have the Carolina Panthers going 4-12. I think they're a little too young with an unproven head coach. So I am not confident in this team.
All right. You want me next? Or I got.
Yeah, you can go.
All right. NFC East. Another split tie for first. Like, that's like 3 in a row. Come on. Eagles are going 10-6. Their team is looking pretty good. They got rid of the cancer Nelson Aguilar. They did draft Jalen Reagor, which I liked. And they did draft also, what's his name? Hurts, right? Jalen Hurts? I like that because Carson Wentz is I feel like there's always a problem with him, and if he has another problem this year, I really think it may be time to kick him out the door, trade him away for like a second rounder. Because Jalen Hurts has potential. Carson Wentz hasn't really been doing. He's been doing all right, but I feel like there's always a problem with him. If I'm being honest, I'm injured. This that blah blah blah. He's had Zach Ertz as a primary target, which shouldn't really be an excuse for him not to do well. Next up, we got the Dallas Cowboys. If they don't make the playoffs, I don't know what's going to happen with that team. I think Jerry Jones might as well just coach it. They have an amazing roster. They got so many people. I don't know how CeeDee Lamb fell to them in the draft, but he did. And they did get Everson Griffin, which that pass rush is going to be absolutely disgusting. If Gerald McCoy didn't get injured, they would have gone way farther. Think about that pass rush. McCoy, Lawrence, and Griffin. Next up, we have the Washington football team going 4-12. They are very young, very unproven. I really hope Alex Smith can come back and play a little. That would be really nice to see. I would enjoy it. Their team is still very young and unproven. Chase Young's going to have a fun year to watch. I feel he's going to win, obviously, Defensive Rookie of the Year. Maybe even Rookie of the Year. With the New York Giants, I feel they're going to go 3-13. Saquon Barkley is usually going to have to carry the load. I think this may be a little low for them, but I still feel they're not playoff team yet. Daniel Jones needs to improve. He had a lot of fumbles as a quarterback. A lot last year. I still remember that clip of Jamal Adams going to sack him and just ripping it out of his hands. Yeah, you can go now. But...
So, for the number one seed in the NFC East, I have the Dallas Cowboys winning the division at 9-7. As George mentioned, this team is stacked, really good on both sides of the ball. Secondary's a little weak, but Earl Thomas is currently a free agent, so we'll see how that goes. No, I think they're a really good team. Second in the NFC East, I have the Eagles also going 9-7. Just to touch on a point you mentioned, George, I think there are teams that would die to give up a first-round pick for Carson Wentz. You look at teams like the Jaguars, I think, would be willing to give up a first-round pick for Carson Wentz. The Browns.
I feel it's not the right home for him, if I'm being honest with you. No.
Well, if he has a problem with Philly, then, I mean, yes. But, no, I think Carson Wentz is definitely like a top eight quarterback at least.
He's always injured.
Okay, his talent is a top eight quarterback. He is the top eight quarterback talent in the league.
That doesn't mean he's a top eight quarterback if he's always on the sidelines with a bruised. I'm not gonna say.
Okay. In third place, I have the Giants going 5-11. This team didn't get too much better, but I feel like the offensive line still has a lot of problems. They did draft Andrew Thomas, which I think was a really good pick, and a very important pick for the growth and development of this team. But defensively, they're a little weak still, and on the offensive side of the ball, I feel like they are missing a few weapons here and there. With the last position in the NFC East, I have the Washington football team. I honestly feel they have a lot of talent on that roster, and their pass rush is going to win them more games than they should. But I just feel like there's a lot going on right now within the organization. And whenever you don't have a stable front office, it's very hard to produce on the field. So that's why I have them going 4-12.
All right. Next up, we do have the NFC West.
Last division.
All right. This one is almost a tie for first. Almost. But I do have the 49ers going 12-4. They did lose Matt Breida, who was a good part of their offense. All of those speed backs really helped. They did lose DeForest Buckner, but they did get back a good young D lineman whose contract is lighter and probably could be as good as DeForest Buckner. They lost Emmanuel Sanders. They have a lot of losses, as you can hear, but they did get IU. They got some young players replacement for the old that left. I feel it'll take a little time for those young players to, you know, kick in, get right up to speed with their team because there's no preseason, which is a big part for teams who are trying to develop their young core. I feel them going 12-4 is pretty accurate coming off the Super Bowl. They still have one of the best rosters in the NFL. Next up, we got the Seattle Seahawks going 11-15. I feel they lost the Jamal Adams trade, but he's still going to make a huge impact on that defense. They've had a weak secondary for a little while now, if we're being completely honest, since the Legion of Boom, it hasn't really recovered. But I feel Jamal Adams can change that. He's a game changer. It may have been a lot giving up two first-round picks and a pretty good safety, but I still feel that Jamal Adams can make a big change. Tied for last place, we have the Rams and Cardinals going 6-11. I feel both teams are
6-11. That's mathematically impossible.
What?
Is it 5-11 or 6-10? What do you have them going? You said 6-11.
Oh my God! Sorry. 6-10. Okay. Sheesh. Okay. These teams are both in different situations. Rams, older team. They have a lot of older players. They're going to need to pick up some big key free agents to get better. They're not in the place right now. They need to have a good free agency to have a good year, and they really didn't have one this year. They signed Jalen Ramsey to a big contract, which is going to be really good. Cardinals, opposite side of the spectrum. They're a young team. They need to get more picks. Their O-line is eh. Their quarterback is pretty good. He showed last year he can ball. They did get Isaiah Simmons, which is going to be good. And I feel that if they can get a few more players to get in up with that young core, they have a playoff team right there.
So, for the NFC West, I have a very tight race between 1 and 2. But ultimately, I have the Seattle Seahawks winning the division at 13-3. I think Russell Wilson will win MVP right now. I'll just get that out of the way. Russell Wilson is my 2020 MVP prediction. I think he's going to have a very, very good season. And through the first 8 weeks of the season last year, he was number one in MVP, MVP race until Lamar Jackson ultimately ended up taking over. But I have the Seahawks going 13-3, and then I have the Niners at 12-4. Obviously, as George said, a little bit regression from last year, but not too much. I think their schedule is way too easy for them to be struggling too much. And then in third place, I have the LA Rams going 9-7. I think this offense can surprise a lot of people. I think there's been a lot of good reports coming out of camp for Cam Akers and Van Jefferson, the two offensive threats they drafted in the second and third round. I think those can be replacements for the guys they lost this offseason in Todd Gurley and Brandon Cooks. So I think this team could go under the radar. I don't think they'll be a playoff team, but I think they'll be a pretty decent team. And then in last place, I have the Arizona Cardinals at 8-8. I feel like this team still very will be successful and take steps in the right direction. Not where they need to be right now. I think they're a little young and they need offensive line help for Kyler Murray, but a step in the right direction.
All right.
On the playoffs.
Ooh. All right. So I'm just going to say what I have 1 through 7 seeds on both sides quickly, real quick to just give an idea.
Yeah.
Number one seed, we got Chiefs in the AFC. Number two, we got Ravens. Number three, we got Colts. Number four, we got Patriots. Number five, Bills. 6, Steelers. 7, Titans. NFC, we have Bucks number one. Niners number 2. Eagles number 3. Packers number 4. Saints 5. Seahawks 6. And Cowboys squeak in at number 7.
All right, why don't you just go through your entire playoff prediction up until the Super Bowl? So go to the conference championship, right, and then I'll go.
All right. Wild card weekend. Big games. Patriots versus Bills. I got the Patriots winning. Easy win. Bill knows their coach. He'll be like, yo, he's going to throw it there, pick him off, touching him, blah, blah. Steelers-Colts. 2-3 seed. Colts are going to win this game out. I feel that Ben Roethlisberger will be very injured, hurt. He's not going to be good for the playoffs. They won't have a bye week. His arm is going to not be it's what it used to be. It won't be ready for the playoffs, and that's maybe the deciding factor. Titans versus Ravens. Ravens are going to get angry. They're going to want revenge. And they're going to get it by beating the 7 seed. Next up, we got the divisional round. We got Colts, the 3 seed, versus Ravens, 2. Close game, but I do have the Ravens. We have the number 1 seed, the Chiefs. The number 4 seed, the Pats. Now, I feel this could go either way.
Oh, my God. Shut up, please.
Perfect Super Bowl. It would be Bucks versus Patriots. Brady versus – tell me that wouldn't be fun to watch.
That would
Brady
be, but the Patriots are not even going to make the playoffs. So, just pick Chiefs and be on with your day.
All right, the Patriots are going next. I'm kidding. Chiefs, Ravens, and Chiefs and Ravens in the AFC Conference title game. Now, who wins this game? The Chiefs, because the Ravens are not a playoff team. They're good in the regular
season.
They're
not a playoff team.
They're just like the same. They're not a winning playoff team. Let me rephrase that, all right? Lamar Jackson's not a playoff player. They're kind of like the Saints. All right, NFC side. Saints are going to beat the Packers. Packers are only there because they won their division. Seahawks are going to beat the Eagles because Russell Wilson is going to have a great year this year. Pissed off that he didn't win MVP. Cowboys versus Niners. I have the Niners. Next. All right, divisional round. Saints versus Niners. I have the Saints upsetting the 2 seed. Seahawks versus Bucks. I have the Bucks winning. Now this is going to be a big game. Breeze versus Brady. Saints, this is their 1 year. They got to make it. Their one shot. Their one opportunity. And they will not capture it. They're going to lose to the Buccaneers. And the Buccaneers are going to the Super Bowl. Oh, No.
What?
All right. I'm back. All right, never mind. I'm back. I only clicked on an ad. All right. Sorry, boys. All right. The Bucs are going to the Super Bowl with the Chiefs. Now, this Super Bowl, it could go either way. Patty Mahomes versus TB12. But if I'm going to press randomize week, the Chiefs are going to win. Back-to-back Super Bowls. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to have a great year, and I feel he could do really well.
Yeah, no, I agree. So it looks like George is having some technical difficulties, so I'm going to be finishing up the last couple of minutes of this podcast with my playoff predictions. When George watches this, he's gonna be a little upset. But wild card weekend. I have the number 2 seed Chiefs hosting the number 7 seed Broncos. The Broncos just barely squeaking into the playoffs, but with the injury Von Miller had, I don't know. It's uncertain if he'll be back at all this year. Many believe it's a season-ending injury, and if that's the case, I don't see any possible way the Broncos could end up winning this game because there wouldn't just not be enough pass rush to get after Patrick Mahomes. And even if Von Miller is playing this game, I think it's Chiefs no-brainer. Then we have the 3-seed Texans playing against the 6-seed Titans. I think the Titans are going to get the better of the Texans in this game here. Titans will be able to control the clock just like they did the back half of the season last year. Playing against the Patriots and the Ravens, they held the ball the majority of the game, and they beat the Ravens at their own game, time possession. So I think the Titans are going to be a strong force this year in the playoffs, not so much the regular season, but if they do get into the playoffs, which I expect they will, I think they can make another run like they did last year. And the last wild card weekend game on the AFC side is the Steelers, number 5 Steelers, traveling to Buffalo to take on the Buffalo Bills. I do have the Steelers in this game. I think Josh Allen isn't mature enough. I mean, we saw I don't think he has the best decision making, and the coaching staff last year. I'm not gonna blame on the coaching staff because Buffalo is getting field goals in that wild card game every single possession. And, you know, the Texans weren't that good at defense. Steelers have 10 times a better defense than the Texans. And if you keep settling for field goals there, you can't win football games, especially in playoff football. And that's why I have the Steelers. I think the Bills are a year or two removed from going on a deep playoff run. That leaves us with the NFC wild card. So the Cowboys will be hosting the first game of the NFC wild card. The 4-seed Cowboys will be hosting the 5-seed 49ers. This one's definitely 49ers. The Cowboys, I have them just squeaking into the playoffs barely. I don't even think they're a force to be reckoned with, as long as there's uncertainty in the head coaching staff and front office. So, you know, I really don't think they can make a push in the playoffs. They have a lot of weapons, and this is Dak's year to prove that he's a money man, but I don't know. I don't think you can get it done here. The Bucks are traveling to Green Bay in Lambeau Field, and they're coming out of Lambeau Field with a dub. I just think Tom Brady playoff football, definitely going to get it done. I think this team has to. They cannot have a wild card exit. That would be a major, major disappointment. And, you know, I think the Bucks just have more weapons, more willpower, and playing out talent. Their defense is better. It's a little bit younger, but it's better. And their offensive weapons are unlike any other in the league. And for the last wild card game, I have number 2 Saints hosting the number 7 Eagles. I do have the Saints in this. And as you will see throughout the rest of my playoff predictions, especially in a year like this, I have the teams that are been together. Continuity, I think, is going to be key this year. That's why I have the Saints moving on to the next round. I did forget to mention the 2 bye week teams. AFC team in the AFC that will be getting a bye week. I do have the Ravens, as you could tell by their 14-2 record, I have them going. And on the NFC side, I have the Seahawks with my prediction for MVP, Russell Wilson. So that leaves us with Chiefs versus Steelers. Steelers have to travel to Arrowhead. I don't see them coming out with a win, so I think the Chiefs talked about continuity. I think they will move on to the conference championship for the 3rd straight year. On the other AFC game, I have the Ravens versus the Titans, and you know, the Ravens have prepared all offseason for a game against the Titans. They're a power run team. They traded for Calais Campbell. They brought in Derek Wolf. They big boy Brandon Williams in the middle now. They drafted 2 middle linebackers, one in the first and one in the 3rd round, and Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison, all to stop the run. And their secondary is plenty good to shut down Tannehill. So I think this is definitely the moment the Ravens have been waiting for. I think Lamar does get his first playoff win against the Titans in January this year. Moving to the NFC, I have the Niners versus the Saints. I think this one's really up in the air. I think it's a high-score game. But I do have the Saints winning solely because of Emmanuel Sanders. I think that was a key piece they were missing last year. Just another weapon, because Minnesota in the playoffs did a really good job of shutting down Michael Thomas to the best of their ability. And I think that definitely made the Saints spiral out of control. And Kirk Cousins played a really, really good game. But no, I definitely could see the Niners winning this game, but I just have the Saints. That's just my gut feeling. And then the Bucks versus the Seahawks. Six seed Bucks coming in to Seattle off a bye with the MVP. And originally I did have the Bucks winning, but I'm going to go with the Seahawks because of that continuity. I think DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are just going to be beast mode in this game. You know, I don't see Sean Murphy Bunting, you know, clamping up DK Metcalf. I just don't see it. I mean, the Bucs pass rush definitely could get after Russell Wilson, but you look at quarterbacks that pass rush doesn't really get to, you know. You look at quarterbacks like Russell Wilson, you know, always evasive behind line of scrimmage. Patrick Mahomes, you really can't speed him up. And Lamar Jackson, you know, he doesn't get sacked very often. And part of that's because of his offensive line, but also because he doesn't allow the pass rush to speed him up. I think Russell Wilson is the cream of the crop when it comes to this, and that's why I do think that the Seahawks will be able to win this game. I think if the Seahawks get enough pass rush on Tom Brady, which is his kryptonite, I think that they're fine. And I don't see the Bucks being – I don't see Bruce Arians being the type of coach to run the ball 30 times. I think they're going to air it out all game and in playoff football. I mean, you saw the Chiefs win, but I still am a big believer in the run game and defense in the playoffs. So that's why I do have the Seahawks moving on to the conference championship. In the conference championship on the AFC side, I have the Chiefs and Ravens. And originally, I did go with the Chiefs. Originally, I had a Bucks-Chiefs Super Bowl. And George and I we didn't discuss this before or anything. But it's just a gut feeling that I had. And I think it was good that our thing disconnected because I had a change of mind. I don't know what made it, but I'm going to go with the Ravens in this game. I think this is their year. You know, I don't see any weakness on that team. I think Lamar Jackson becomes a really good passer. This year, I think they become a more balanced team, which will allow them to play from behind. And I think they'll control the clock against the Chiefs. And I think if the Ravens can keep this below 30 points for either side, I think they'll win, because if they can control the clock, control the ball, and control the line of scrimmage, which I don't see them not being able to do based off what we saw last year, I think it's a real possibility they can win this game. As long as it doesn't become a shootout between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, which, trust me, I'm a diehard Lamar Jackson fan, but Mahomes is going to win that 10 out of 10 times. So if they can keep this a lower scoring game and just control the clock, I think this is they could definitely come out on top in this game. And on the NFC side, I have the Seahawks and Saints. I don't think the Seahawks have enough willpower to be able to play the Bucks and the Saints 2 weeks in a row. I know it sounds weird, but it's just a gut feeling that I have the Saints moving on to the Super Bowl. I think this is Drew Brees' final year. He's going to ride off into the sunset, and that's where we go for Super Bowl Sunday. Actually, before Super Bowl Sunday, I'll give you some of my award winners, because the award show is before the Super Bowl. So MVP, obviously, I have Russell Wilson, comeback player of the year. I'm going to go Cam Newton, defensive player of the year. I'm going to go TJ Watt. Offensive rookie of the year, I'll go. I'm split between Joe Burrow and Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now. I bet you It'll probably be Joe Burrow just because they always give it to a quarterback, and, you know, that's a safe bet. Defensive Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go Isaiah Simmons. I think it really could be Jeff Okuda based on what we saw last year in college, and if that translates over to the NFL, I definitely think he could win it. But I think Isaiah Simmons is just really athletic, and I think he's a really good football player and versatile, which will definitely up his stock when it comes to Defensive Rookie of the Year. Coach of the Year, I'm going to go with Bruce Arians. I'll go Pete Carroll because they just have the better record. Being able to flip around, you know, in a tough division after a heartbreaking loss with all those injuries last year and being able to turn around the next year, coming first in the NFC, I think Pete Carroll definitely deserves Coach of the Year if this were to be the case scenario. And that leaves us with Super Bowl Sunday. Ravens versus Saints. And I'm going to go Ravens. A lot of you are going to say I'm biased or whatever, but I really think this is their year. I think Lamar Jackson really grows into his own this year. I think he becomes a really, really good passer. And I hope he becomes a really, really good passer so he doesn't have to run as much. I think a realistic stat line for him this year would be, you know, 3,500 yards, 28 passing touchdowns, 850 on the ground for around 5 rushing touchdowns. So definitely a drop off from last year. But you compare Lamar Jackson to a player like, a season like Dan Marino in 1984, where he had a really, really good season, and there's just no matching what he did. So I think that's kind of the case scenario here. But I hope he does get a ring, unlike Dan Marino. So I think this is the year for the Ravens. I think Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters combined, I think they can shut down Michael Thomas. Not shut down, but limit him. And Alvin Kamara in the backfield definitely is a mismatch. But I think with the speed that Patrick Queen has, I think he would be able to stick with him. And what the Saints are really good at, or what they have a lot of, really good wide receivers, and the Ravens have really good corners, so I think they match up really well against the Saints. And when you look at the Ravens offensively, the Saints don't have a ton of speed defensively, so I think that the Ravens would be able to overpower them on that side of the ball. And that's why I think if this were the Super Bowl, the Ravens would take the dub. Thank you guys for listening today. Later today, we'll be coming out with our predictions for week 1 as that starts today. Thank you guys very much for listening. See y'all later. Peace.